Our text this morning, we are in the Epistle to the Ephesians, and in chapter 3, and still in the preparatory verses for the great prayer of the Apostle for the church at Ephesus and for all Christians. My text this morning is verse 12, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, really beginning at the end of verse 11, in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have boldness and access of confidence by the faith of him. Now the apostle thus far has endeavored to bring us to a place of understanding of prayer, what it really means. Many of us can pray, and God hears our prayer. You might say, does he hear everybody's prayer? Does he hear the prayer of an unbeliever? Now you think about that. Does he hear only the prayer of a believer? Well, I would say yes, he does hear many of the prayers of unbelievers. God uses many ways to bring people to consider himself. And he often answers their prayers. And how many of us, before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, called upon God, and there was no shadow of doubt about it, he answered our prayer. Yet it is not on the same level, shall I say, or dimension, as a prayer of a righteous man, a Christian, availeth much. That's quite fair, isn't it? And right, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we are able to ask great things that those who are not the Lord have not yet considered. But if anybody should doubt whether he hears a prayer of an unbeliever, a person is bound to pray, Lord, have mercy upon me. That is a prayer of an unbeliever as he comes to the threshold of faith. So God is a merciful God in that way, but to those who are especially his. So he brings us, and the way he brings us, he talks of the great mystery of the mind of God. And as far as we are able to understand, it is revealed in the Holy Gospel. This chapter follows a chapter that talked about reconciliation. This chapter has a great aim, a great goal. And the goal is that Christians might not suddenly stop. It's so very easy to do that. I mentioned before, if I can just remind you, a person can come to a real experience of salvation. They are saved. And for some reason or another, they do not grow in grace, or just a little. They just talk all the time about that experience. It is the initial one and the vital one, but there's more. Then they have another experience, maybe, some in the life, in the Christian life, and they stop there, not realizing there's more, there's more, there's more. And the highest goal of all, this prayer, is seldom understood, and I think we only understand it ourselves on certain levels according to how close we are at the moment to the Lord, and that is that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's a phrase that quite frightens me. To be filled with all the fullness of God. When I think how petty I can be. And you? Sometimes? When I think how I can worry about things that are unworthy to be put as worries. And you? When we compare ourselves and think that we should be considering being filled with all the fullness of God, or some of the desires of our hearts, and we should be praying for all the fullness of God. What hinders us? We hinder each other. We listen to whispers. the whispers of our hearts, the lusts of our hearts. We listen to Satan. We listen to those who are that way inclined. We listen. Before long, we find ourselves in the valley of no blessing, in the valley of indifference, in the valley of coldness. And we are miserable. Why? Because we are the Lord's. Lift up your hearts. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. That is the burden of this man. He's burdened for Ephesus, who knew so much of the doctrines. That's why he's able to write on the level he writes to them. And yet he says, I would pray for you that you might have all the fullness of God. And so he talks about the revelation of the mystery of the gospel, that he unveils before our eyes that he is a God of grace, that he is a God of redemption. In verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is with him in creation. Now, he brings us then to a glorious view of the majesty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not now an indifferent, flippant kind of Christianity. This is a gracious and a majestic and a glorious one. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Thomas was full of unbelief? He didn't believe that Jesus Christ was risen. Now, do you remember how he addressed him? When he saw him in his resurrection glory, there was no frivolity. My Lord and my God. Those were the words. Are they ours? He brings us to a glorious view of the Lord Jesus Christ to make us aware of his majesty. And then a twofold thing in verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is the great majesty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his triumph splendor, and he has all his purposes worked out and wrought in Christ. And then he says suddenly in these words that you and I as believers are able to say, our Lord. So on the one hand, I have this glorious balance where I will say, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, full of truth and grace and majesty, and my Lord, my Lord, your Lord. Is that true in your experience? Then the hymn I quoted last week, remember? I found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twined those ties which naught can sever. For I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever. What's he doing? He is bringing us to the threshold of a prayer. And to a threshold of a prayer that is going to ask something that no Christian had ever dreamt that he could ask for it. To be filled with all the fullness of God. Now let's begin there now before we come to that prayer. For myself and for yourself this morning, as you sit there, answer this question. Are you or have you any desire to be filled with all the fullness of God? It means full of grace, full of mercy, full of love, trust and kindness. It means no bitterness or all these malice, all these things that hinder us. Do we want to be rid of those? Because they are enjoyable. The flesh loves those things and thrives on it. Do we want to be there? May God give us a desire. Myself and yourself as well. Now he brings us. Now, where are we? There may be some here this morning that they are not Christian, only in the loose sense of the term, but not destined for glory. They are strangers. You're a stranger here this morning. There may be those of us who take him for granted and never bother to pray. Well, I'm a Christian, so just the odd little word now and again. You're one of those. And there are some, I'd like to say all, I don't know, who would love to be there. Would always love to be there. Let's consider the wonder. I'm going to read you three verses now. You need not look them up because I know you're familiar with them. One, you can look at where you are now. It's verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him that is able to do. You can say, I can never be like that. Oh, yes, you can. Because he is able to do it in you. Then in Philippians 4, 5, this verse you're familiar with. Be anxious, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then in Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now then, where are we? What rights have I to come before him? Well, first there must be a ground, the acceptance of a soul. Let me include everyone that is here this morning now, be he a Christian with the grace of God in his heart, a person who he thinks is a Christian, but really has never had an experience and is beginning to understand he's a stranger, or a person who knows that he is a stranger. The acceptance of a soul. Every one of us here at one time was a stranger. And I trust that as the Sundays go by, God willing, that many strangers will become friends of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So before we start with the throne of grace and the throne of God, we've got to consider. Now, look at verse 12 again. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We come to the threshold of the faith. We've been told already of the majesty of this God. And now suddenly we are told to be confident. And yet I've been led by this chapter, and so have you, to feel the greatness and the wonder of the Saviour. Then suddenly I'm told I can have a confidence and a boldness as well. Now what does all this mean? Well, there must be basically a meaning that there is a ground that I can stand on. Well, what is it? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll take you from verse to verse. Chapter 2, verse 19, going backwards now. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. That's finished with. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Are you there? But go back to verse 13 in chapter 2. But now, could be now for you today, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, but I'm so far away, so are we all. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Allow me to say this so clearly. We have no grounds to claim eternal life and eventually to appear before the throne in that wonderful way without this, that I recognize that I am a sinner, that I recognize that a heavy price had to be paid. You might say, well, I've sinned too far. Now, if you say that, then you are suggesting that the blood of Jesus Christ is ineffective and will only go as far as a certain kind of person. No. However vile a person may be, however bad they may be, however far, however long they've delayed, there's room, there's time. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Why the blood? Sin is punished, always punished. You have a choice. You can die with your sin and take your punishment. And punishment is hell forever. Or you can lay your burden upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He was punished on Calvary. And when you put your trust in him, something wonderful happens. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Last night we had the annual little party and meeting for the deaf church that we have in our church here. And they sang the chorus, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary." It would be wonderful if you could have seen them and heard them. It is a wonderful sight to see the signs that we know the words for. How much they fully understand the signs convey is very difficult always to know. Some of them do. It's very, very wonderful. When they talk of the love of God, I think I'm right, and they say they just put their hands like this and crossed their chest. It was very wonderful. And for Jesus, just pointing the finger to the palm, there were nails there. He was crucified for us. So either in sound that you and I could not understand, and signs, they sang that lovely, lovely chorus. They couldn't hear. You can all hear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. So when I say, "Have you heard me?" I'm asking quite a question. Yes, you've heard the noise my voice makes. But it's another thing whether you have heard me with the inner ear and to say, "Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my sins are forgiven. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day." We are able to say, "I hear," they too, when they hear in their hearts, "I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice. And I have peace with God." We begin there. Have you started? We begin there. Acceptance of a soul in the sight of God. Accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is described in the scriptures as being in Christ, in the Beloved. I am his and he is mine forever and forever. Now then, to close, the assurance of a soul. The acceptance of a soul, the assurance of a soul. Just think, to be able to approach God in that great day when this little soul will flutter from its little body, if the Lord tarries, and come before that great God and behold his face and see his glory, that is past words and past imaginations, and doesn't it sweep away all little silly things? Oh, I don't know what you treasure or what I may treasure. We have our little things. But where will they be then? Some of you may be very rich. Some of you very poor. Most of us are average. But what do those things matter? They're only trinkets. They're only little things. A little bundle of things. All that I have, he made me. All that I have, he gave me. All that I am, he made me. all that I ever hope to be, Jesus alone can do for me. Are you there? To be able to approach God and say, not say, see what I've got, but to say, I come to thee, O God, in the merits of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But meanwhile, in this life, we have boldness, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Because of the relationship, I read you those verses. If I can just refer to one again, let us therefore, because that is true, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, this morning, really, my message is based around one word. And that's, I want you to remember, and especially those on the brink of faith, that we must have the acceptance also of a soul in the sight of God, in the merits of Jesus Christ. Now, the lovely assurance that you can have, that you can bring everything to God in prayer. Now, I'm going to show you now the most lovely thing. Now, look at this verse again. In whom we have boldness. Now then, translations are always difficult. It can be translated, the courage of confidence. But now then, boldness we have here, it can be described as courage. But if you look at the original word for courage, it is actually made up of two words. And at first, that word for boldness didn't seem to make any sense. In whom we have, put a space, access with confidence by the faith of him. But this word, boldness, well, what is it? Two little words, telling and all. So the other way around, actually, all, telling. But translated correctly, telling all. Now, that word appears in many places in the scriptures and has different aspects of meaning. Changes a little. Telling all. But here it is rich. Why can I come so happily to the throne of grace? Because he is a God that I can tell all to him. And it gives me the courage that tells all, the confidence that tells all, the boldness that tells all. Because the courage and the boldness and the confidence are emptied of their presumption and filled with the trust of telling all. Do you see the difference? Doesn't it make that verse now a most beautiful thing in your sight and in my sight? So now what he's saying is, here is this great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in their triune splendor. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, our one and only mediator, by whom we have access. How can we come to him? You're able to come with confidence, with courage. What do you mean? And so we go to the word that is used. You are able to come telling all. We use the word courage because that gives us courage. We use the word boldness because that gives us boldness. But never is it presumption and never is it cheek. But telling all because I trust completely. That's the picture here. Do you tell him all? It's a test, isn't it? Well, I tell him when I'm in trouble. I tell him when I've got a problem. I tell him when I'm afraid. I tell him when I want something. I tell him when I've been specially favored. Do we tell him all? That's a wonderful thing. So now he's saying, he is such a God that this is a confidence and the boldness that I'm talking about. Their basic word is this, that he is trustworthy, telling all. And he's a God who will listen to all. He knows of the flutter of a sparrow and its fall. He knows of the trembling of your heart and its anxieties. He knows all this, so you can go to him and tell all. Oh, but such are the things, they seem so silly. Tell all. Hold nothing back. Some of the things, I don't like naming them. I'll just go through the main things. Tell all. This is private prayer now. Tell all. Tell all. Why? Because you believe in him. Can you understand why it's called a throne of grace? Do you know, so many thoughts came to me on this. If we told him all, we'd never be bitter, would we? If we told him all, we'd never be angry. If we told him all, we'd never be difficult. Do you know why? Because when we tell him, he'll do something about it. Tell all. Do we really want to change? Do we really want to be gracious? Do we really want to go all the way? Here is a word that perhaps is hidden by lovely words, courage and boldness and confidence. But the word is telling all to him. Listen to this hymn. I'll read a few verses of it. What various hindrances we meet, I meet, you meet, in coming to the mercy seat. Yet, who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Those of us who know the worth of prayer, even though we neglect to tell him all, we wish to be often there. We know better. Why don't we? Why don't we? Prayer is a valuable thing. It shows we love God and trust him. To be often there. Prayer makes the darkened cloud, and how many clouds there are. Clouds over our nation, aren't there? Really now. We're all sad about it. Clouds over Europe. Clouds over the world. Clouds over our little lives. Little clouds over our hearts, the size of our hand that we don't want to show anyone else. But tell him, tell him. Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. Gives exercise to faith and love. Brings every blessing from above. There's power. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. We stop being interested. Prayer makes a Christian's armor bright when he is interested. And Satan trembles. Oh, you say, well, I'm nobody. I'm just not very important. We're all the same in Christ Jesus if we are believers. Listen to this. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. That's marvelous. Even when you and I pray, Satan trembles. And we say we can't pray. Have we no words? You say, well, I don't know what to say. Now think. Have we no words? Think again. Words flow apace when you complain. Is that right? I can remember once being on a bus, I think I was around about the age of 13 or 14, and I was really, really bored. There were two people in front of me. I'll not say whether they were ladies or men. You can guess whichever way you're biased, all right? And they were there. And one said, and he said, and she said, and I said, and he said, and I said, and what do you think? And he said, and I said, it's not right. And what? And on and on and on and on. I thought, oh, shut up, I felt like saying. You're contradicting each other anyway. You know, it was terrible. I had to listen for 20 minutes to that. Words flow apace. We can all do it, my friends. I'm an expert, so are you. Words flow apace when we complain and fill your fellow creatures here, poor Dab, and fill your fellow, if you don't know poor Dab, it means poor thing, all right? And fill your fellow creatures here with a sad tale of all your care, and how hard it's been, and how unfair it is, and how wrong they were, and how they shouldn't have done it this way, and they should have done, and so on, you know. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. I'll add another oh there. Oh, there are nearly 49 million people unsaved in Britain. Oh, the vast majority of Cardiff is unsaved. Oh, how can we complain? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because, now listen, we do not carry everything telling all, everything to God in prayer. May God give us grace to be at his throne often. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and ask thee to help us, make us a gracious people. Thou knowest the way to bring us back. Thou knowest. Speak to our hearts, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Amen.